guys, welcome back to another episode of Porn Star Confession. Today I have got Kano, so welcome.
Hi, thank you for having me.
Of course. So how old are you, first of all?
38.
38. Okay. And Kano comes from Mortal Kombat, I'm guessing.
Yeah, it comes from my slight obsession with Mortal Kombat, particularly Mortal Kombat 11, because he looks insanely hot in that game.
Jesus, there's been 11 of them?
Yeah, they're working on the 12th one right now. It's coming out like next month. Yeah.
Wow, I remember playing the original as a kid. That was a long ass time ago.
Yeah. Oh yeah, I remember that one too.
Were you playing since the beginning or no?
No, like honestly, I missed the boat on the first like four or five of them because my parents wouldn't let me play them because they said they were too violent, you know, and they're like, no, absolutely not. You're not playing these in the house. And I was like, you know, 10 at the time or whatever that it came out. And I was like, but mom, and she's like, nope. So I missed that. I had to get into it as an adult.
When did you start playing them?
Oh, in college. Oh. Yeah. Yeah. I'm a huge gamer in general, but when I was trying to think of a name for, you know, doing OnlyFans and all that stuff, I was like, well, what should I use? And I was like, well, maybe I should do, you know, a name of someone or something that's like important to me. So I was like, well, I'm really obsessed with Mortal Kombat. I'm a Kano main. So what if I just went with Kano? And I was like, oh, well, I need a last name too. So I was like, what if my name was something like Kano Entei? You know, my favorite Mortal Kombat character and then my favorite Pokemon. And I was like, that's probably the last thing I need is a Pokemon company coming after me with the lawsuit. So why not just shorten it to just Kano? Because I think NetherRealm would be more forgiving with people using their characters' likenesses. So I was like, well, that's kind of, you know, I don't know how cool that is. Maybe I'll just use that as a last resort name. While I think of something cooler, like Diesel Truck or something like that. You know what I mean? So, but like, I just couldn't think of a name that I was like, oh yeah, that's the name. So my last resort name became my main name. So I was like, okay, I guess I'll just stick with Kano until NetherRealm sends me a cease and desist letter.
Okay, fair enough. Yeah, I can't come up with names either for shit. My ex came up with mine. I'm like, I don't know. I would have named myself like Billy Joe Jim Bob or some stupid shit like that. I can't come up with a name to save my life.
Same. I couldn't even come up with my own drag name. My ex came up with that too.
Well, you do drag as well?
Yeah, I used to a lot, like from 2014 to 17, but then I kind of stopped in 2017 because I was dealing with crises and emergencies in my life, and then COVID hit, which really like sucked all the energy out of me. But yeah, I did that for a couple years. That's a crazy story how I got into that. Should I say that
yeah,
story?
Let's get to that in a minute, because I'm like sitting here looking at you and you're like fucking jacked. I'm like, how the fuck does that work? let's start at the very beginning. Like, what was your life like, you know, growing up, all that stuff?
Oh gosh, so many moons ago. My growing up, my life was actually, it was like a combination of really awful but really wonderful, because like I grew up in Iowa, and Iowa is a very different world from San Francisco, and I was very clearly a obviously gay child. Like, I was very flamboyant, you know. Yeah. Oh well. Yeah, I was yeah, it was not hard to tell. Like, so I had a lot of problems, like all of elementary school and junior high. Like, my life was a living hell because people at school just like hated me. I had like no friends. I was made fun of all the time, and so like school life totally sucked, but home life was great because my mom and dad were like, oh my God, I have the best mom and dad in the entire fucking world. They're like, you know, you are wonderful. You're great. Like, don't listen to this kid. Like, we love you. Like everything associated with like my family and everything that I did like outside of school, like was really great. It was really wonderful. Like, I was in community theater stuff my whole life because both my parents are music teachers. So, I grew up kind of singing and playing the piano, and my mom was the church choir director at our church for like the first 12 years of my life. So as soon as I learned how to sing Twinkle Twinkle Little Star, she threw me in there and was like, here, go, sing. So I was totally like a theater kid, like community theater and playing piano and stuff. And I went to, so that was my life till college. And then, I went to college for, cinema because I wanted to make movies. And, you know, being in the middle of Iowa, I was like, how the hell do I go about that? You know, because you're in the middle of the cornfields of Iowa and I want to be the next Steven Spielberg. What do I do? So I went to University of Iowa because they had a cinema program. And I very quickly learned that I was at the wrong school because like we would go around and people would be like, so what are your goals in cinema? What do you want to do? And everybody, all the other kids were like, oh, you know, I want to make low budget indie films that like 10 people see. And I was the only one that was like, I want to make the next Lord of the Rings. I want to be Steven Spielberg. I want to go to LA. I want to make all these, I have all these visions. I want to make a Legend of Zelda movie. It would be amazing, blah, blah, blah. And they're all like, you're at the wrong school for that. So I was like, fuck. And I was like too scared to like move to, you know, California because I'd never been outside of Iowa. So I changed my majors like a bunch of times in college. And I was a music composition major at one point because I wanted to write music for video games. And then I realized I was the wrong school for that too. Because they were like, what kind of music do you want to write? And I was like, oh, I want to be the next John Williams of video games. Like, I want to be the next Nobuo Uematsu. And they're all like, who's that? Like, no, we're going to have you writing like atonal music and none of that. And I'm like, oh. So I kind of graduated college in Iowa, like with just a degree that I didn't really care about. Because I was like, what do I do with my life?
What did you graduate with?
I ended up finally setting on a music perform, like just general music performance degree. Because I was in college for 5 years and I was like, you know what? I just want to get out of here. Just give me a piece of paper that says that I know something and then I'll figure it out after graduation. So I worked for like a year after graduation as a paraprofessional in high school. And I was just kind of like floundering in life. Paraprofessional is like when you're in high school, you know, there's a kid that always has an adult with them at all times that like takes them to. So I was the adult for those, like, not special needs kids necessarily, but, like, kids who, like, this special, they needed some adult to, like, help them in some way with the material, help guide them. And I loved my kids. Like, my kids were awesome. But the job itself, God bless the teachers out there because that's a tough, tough job. So I was doing that for a year, and my best friend at the time was like, you know, like, what do you really want to do? And I was like, I don't know. Like, he's like, well, you're an artist. So here's a sketchbook, start drawing and stuff. And then, God of War 2 is kind of what, this is a weird story, but God of War 2 kind of like was the starting point for me moving out to California because there was a bonus disc that came with the game that showed all the like behind the scenes stuff, that, like how they made the game. And I remember watching it and being like, oh, I could totally do that. Like, all I got to do is combine, like, my love of video games, my love of, like, drawing and artistry, and I can just, like, work in video games. So that was like, okay, now I know what I'm going to do with my life. I'm going to move out to California, and I'm going to be a video game designer because that's where all the video game companies were anyway. So I figured, you know, I should probably go to college in the place where all the jobs are. That way, when I graduate, I'm already where I need to be. Yeah. And then, so I came out here in 2009. Went to video game college, and I was there for like 3 years and graduated there, but I didn't really get a job in the video game industry because we all learned at the 11th hour that the school was kind of a scam college, and so none of us really got jobs in the industry because we just like weren't prepared. But I kind of lucked out because I got a job making events in 3D for an event designer because my specialty was in environment modeling, like making the levels of the game. So he was like, and I go-go danced for him for a bunch of his parties. And he, once he found out what I was in college for, he was like, oh, you know, I could use you at my office, like at a desk with your clothes on. So like, let me know when you graduate and I'll hook you up. So that's how I kind of got into events, and I've been working there at that, like in that kind of world ever since I graduated. So I didn't really land on the, what my life I thought would be, you know, working in video games, but you know, at least I landed here and have a job, and I love my life. So that's kind of how I ended up in San Francisco from Iowa.
Have you ever watched a documentary? Fuck. Can't remember where I saw it, but there was a documentary on like video game designers. Have you ever seen any of those?
Like the one on Netflix?
I don't know if it was on Netflix. But basically, like when you actually talk to the people who design video games, I mean, the shit is like a sweatshop as far as like the burnout rate's insane, like how much they work you is insane. I mean, it's like, I can't remember where this documentary was I watched it, but it made it look like the worst fucking job in the entire world. Like, the average career was, like, 2 years, and, like, I mean, the people were saying, like, they'd rather fucking scrub toilets than do that shit.
Yeah, there's a real bad problem with, it's called crunch in the industry, where, yeah, you just work till you're dead, until, because the game's got to happen, it's got to get out there, and then after the game's released, everybody's fired, because like, well, the game's done, bye, find a new game to work on. And so part of me is like, maybe I dodged a bullet by not getting into that industry, but I don't know. There are times when I look back like, I wonder how different my life would be if I would have gotten into the video game industry. But I'm very happy with where I am now, and I love my life, so it's all good, it all worked out.
I mean, based on everything I've seen, you dodged a serious bullet. So I don't think you'd have that smile on your face right now. Like, these motherfuckers look like the most depressing, like, people on the planet. Okay, so how did you first get into bodybuilding? I'm guessing that that had something to do with your childhood, or am I grasping at straws?
The main impetus was college, because in college I was a skinny, tiny kid my whole life. I never like had a problem with it. I never like was like looking in the mirror and being like, God, I'm so skinny, I hate my body, I wish I was bigger. Like, no, I was like, I was very happy with what I was. And but in college I joined cheerleading, because in high school I always wanted to, but I never could because I was too busy doing like, you know, theater and choir stuff. So in college I was like, okay, I'm gonna make this a priority. Let me try out for cheerleading, because I've always wanted to, and I'm going to see how far I can get it. And I made the squad, because thankfully they really need guys at the University of Iowa at the time. And I was like, the other guys that tried out were like, in high school, they were all football players, wrestlers, and they're like, oh, what sport did you do, man? And I'm like, I did gym class. they brought me on, and I was like, oh, sweet, mom, dad, guess what? I made the cheerleading squad. And I'm like, by far the smallest guy, so I need to change that. And they paired me with like the tiniest girl too, because you kind of get matched to like your body size. And I like, oh my God, all of freshman year was me struggling to trying to like throw her into the stunts that like even basic stunts I couldn't do. So it like kind of like put a fire under my ass to be like, okay, if I want to like be really good at this, like I need to do this for her. I need to do this for my squad. I need to do this for my team. So I need to really like make a change. So that's when I started seriously bulking up, working out, like really, really hard, because I wanted to like be at the level that all the other guys were at. And I felt bad at that. I was like the weakest link on the squad. So, and it worked really well. I mean, I would think I was like 150 pounds when I first started. And then I was 175 by junior, senior year. And by junior, senior year, I could do like all the stunts that all the other guys could do, and I could tumble and stuff. So I achieved my goal. So I was like, yay, it worked. And then as an adult, like after college, the bodybuilding kind of happens in spurts after a breakup, I find out. like I just work out generally, but then after I have a terrible breakup, I need to like channel all my energy and anger somewhere. So like, like this previous breakup that happened like 2.5 years ago, I was like 195 and now I'm like 222. So I should probably send him a gift basket and be like, hey, thank you. me at the gym being like, I'll show you.
So pretty much you got into it because of cheerleading and then it just never ever left.
Yeah.
So it's always been in your life to varying degrees. Okay, so my next question is, how in God's name does someone your size do drag? Like, I'm picturing like She-Hulk up there. Like, I don't know.
What you're picturing is basically what it looked like.
I don't know. I just like, okay, give me some rope. I'm not good about being politically correct. But like, some of these fucking dudes that do drag, I would put you in this category. They're like ultra fucking masculine. Like, I mean, they're like a manly man, right? And then you'll see him in drag and you're like, what the fuck? How the fuck is that the same person? Like, this chick is hot as fuck. Like, how? Explain that.
Well, I'm not a very beautiful woman by any chance. I just kind of look like Shrek in a dress. But, so what happened was, you know, I got into go-go dancing, in college, and then I got into it here when I moved to California. And, you know, drag queens always need backup dancers for their numbers, you know, so I was always being asked, like, hey, you're a go-go dancer, do you want to be, like, you know, a backup dancer in my number? And I'm like, sure, you know, I'm one of those people that, like, I love helping out, like, in anything related to, you know, theater. Like, I'm happy being, you know, pulling the curtain or playing the role of standing tree number 7. Like, I'm just happy to, like, be with my, you know, family, you know, because the, like, the community, the family, like, hanging out with my friends aspect about it is, like, that's where my soul lives. And so, like, for the first few, like, 4 or 5 years in San Francisco, I was, you know, go-go dancing a lot, helping out with a lot of drag queens, and, so I'd be at these drag shows all the time, you know, in my downtime before it was our turn, like, watching these drag queens go on stage and perform, and, like, it would, like, get into my brain, like, oh, what would I do if I was up there? Like, I wonder if I would, you know, do, like, a Lord of the Rings-themed number, and we're all dressed in, like, drag as Lord of the Rings characters, and the song is Single Ladies, because if you like it, you should have put a ring on it, hey! And, like, there's the joke. So I would just have, like, ideas like that in my brain, but I never thought that I would, like, they would happen. And I remember I was backstage at a show, and there was, like, a poster there with, like, the names, like, next show, here's all the performers, blah, 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 blah. And me and the stage manager guy were looking at it, and he just looks at it, and he's like, you know, you're probably going to be asked to be in a lot of these numbers, you know, because a lot of these queens are your friends. And I was like, yeah, I'll be in those numbers as a boy. Like, halfway joking. And he was like, well, do you want to do it? Do you want to do it for real? And I'm like, really? You think? He's like, yeah, like, I'm the one that cast the Star Search show is what it's called. It's for, like, new talent or whatever. Like, you could compete in it and, you know, do a number. And I was like, sure, like, why not? So I entered this, like, competition called, like, the Miss Star Search in 2014. And I was fully planning on coming in last place. I was like, I'm going to look like a monster in a dress. Like, I don't know how to do my makeup. I'm, like, so bad at this. The other competitors were, like, seasoned queens who were, like, really, really wonderful and great, who I really respected. And I was like, there's no fucking way I can compete with that. So I was, like, going into this with the mentality of gonna come in last place, so let's just throw everything we can at it, have a blast, because this is the only time we're gonna do it. And I ended up winning, like, first place. Yeah, I was like, what the fuck? It was during the time when the Russian Olympics were happening in Sochi, and there was all that controversy about gay men getting abducted and beaten up and stuff, and, like, it was being recorded and put on social media in Russia. So I did that as a number. Like, I was super political, like, made a big, huge statement. I had guys getting beat up, like, on stage by Russians, and the whole theme was that I was, like, this American who flew over to Russia, and I made a wrestling ring on stage, and I basically just, like, beat the shit out of the guy that was capturing all the gay dudes. And I was like, I'm gonna come in last place. This is really political. I'm gonna probably offend a lot of people. It's, like, sad, like, and then when they called my name as the winner, I was like, oh my God, I won. Holy shit, that's crazy. Oh, wow. And then the other half of me was like, oh, fuck, I have to do this for real now. Like, my plan to do, like, this is a one-time thing didn't work out. Because when you win the competition, you have to perform at the rest of the shows for the rest of the year, which is, you know, once a month. So I'm like, oh, okay, I'm locked into this. I need to, like, come up with numbers every month. So that's what I did, like, for a whole year, is every month I had, like, major imposter syndrome, too, because I knew, like, all these queens were like, oh, your first time doing drag and you win a competition. How amazing, you know? So I really wanted to, like, prove everybody that, you know, I could do this. I knew what I was doing. So, like, I brought it, like, every single number. I, like, asked all my friends, like, hey, do you want to be in this number with me? I always did big group numbers, because that's my favorite part about doing it, was performing with my friends. So I did that Lord of the Rings idea, for one. I did a whole bunch of... All my numbers tended to be, like, video game or nerd themed, because that's just, like, where my brain lives. So, like, the first number that I did after I won the competition was a Mega Man themed number, and the song was True Blue by Madonna, because he's the blue bomber. Ha 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 ha! So, yeah, I did that for, like, 2 years, and then, it was great. I loved it. It was fun. But then I just, in like 2000, 2017, 2018, I had like life crises that I was dealing with. So I like kind of fell off, and then COVID hit. So I was like, okay, I guess I'm really never doing this again. But I still like would like help out by helping out with other people's numbers by like being in them and stuff. And then, they asked me to do it again next month. So that's where what I've been doing a lot of my energy lately has been going to is been getting ready for that, because they're doing a Kylie night next month. Uh-huh. And I did a Mario Kart themed number to Kylie's Get Out of My Way, where we all just had like cardboard go-karts around our waist and we like ran around stage, and it was fun, but all the go-karts are now like gone. So I like have to like rebuild all of them by next month. So that's what I've been doing lately.
Jesus.
Yeah.
So one thing you mentioned that I want to talk about, like, for the people who are watching who don't know what imposter syndrome is, how would you describe it?
It's being like, I am in a place amongst people that I do not belong because they are here and I am here, but I have a mask on that makes me look like I'm right here. So let me just keep up the facade until I know, like, for sure that I'm at their level.
Yeah, I just... What I want to talk about that is... I feel like everyone experiences that when they're learning something new. And some people either embrace it and like... Okay, they think I'm here, so I'm going to do whatever it takes to get here. And then other people, they just kind of like shy away and quit. So... I mean, what gave you the courage or the wherewithal to keep going? Because that can be intimidating, where you feel like everyone's expecting you to be on this particular level, and you're just sitting there thinking, what if I make a fool of myself? What if everyone laughs? Like, how did you overcome that?
Well, I had a lot of help. It was not a one-man show. Like, I'm part of a drag house called the House of Glitter, and I have a drag mom. Her name's Poyo Del Mar, and, like, they were really, like, instrumental. Like, I was part of the house before I even competed, and they helped me a lot with the number. So I don't think I would have... If I didn't have them, I probably, A, wouldn't have even competed, or B, if I would have won, I would have been like, nope, actually, let me give my crown to someone else, because I can absolutely not do this by myself. So they, like, helped me out with, like, making costumes and helping me with my makeup and just being in the number. And, like, yeah, like, every one of my numbers was a group effort. I was just kind of the one that came up with the idea, but it was, like, a whole family execution of it. So that's really what helped a lot. I have to give all the credit to them, too.
No, I mean, I think that's amazing that you were able to do that and really step outside your comfort zone. And, you know, that's really the only way we grow or improve, is by stepping outside of the comfort zone, trying something that it's like, oh, I could succeed at this, or I could fall flat on my face and everyone's going to see it happen.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, yeah. So, like, did you play any video games as a kid?
Oh, it's all I did. Because, like,
Oh, so you just couldn't play Mortal Kombat.
couldn't play Mortal Kombat, but I was more of an RPG kind of kid. Like, I came to, like, when I grew up is when, like, Chrono Trigger, Final Fantasy VI, Secret of Mana, Illusion of Gaia, Breath of Fire, like, all those games, Earthbound, were kind of coming out. So that's where, like, I got my foundation. And I was all about, like, RPGs and stuff. So those were, that's kind of where my, where I kind of lived. But video games certainly helped because, like I said, I had like no friends at school. Life was miserable. They were calling me a faggot every chance they got. So my like escape happy place was like video games. It was like kind of a combination of that and my parents' love that kind of saved me and like got me through the shitty years, you know, because it, you know, no matter how bad your life was at school, you could always come home, decompress, and like zone out and go to a different fantasy world where people don't, you know, make fun of you for whatever.
That's one thing, though, that I feel like, at least for me personally, I'm very glad that you and I grew up when we did, because for me, going to school was, it was bad.
Did you get made fun of too?
Yeah, I got made fun of, bullied, picked on, all that. I mean, no, I was
Want to hug
definitely not the popular kid at all. But at least for you and I, like you just said, when we left school, the bullying stopped. Whereas I can't even imagine growing up today with social media, because that now all of a sudden that bullying's on like a 24-hour a day cycle.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. Although part of me wonders if the world has like gotten better in the last 30 years, you know, like if people are more accepting, like with the advances that we've made, I guess. Like, I don't know. It would be interesting to like talk with like high school gay kids and be like, "Hey, how are you doing?" Like, and just compare it to like our experience, you know.
Yeah, if you're someone young and watching this, please let us know what it's like today, 'cause I'm genuinely curious. 'Cause I'm just in my mind I'm picturing how cruel they were when we were kids and then putting that on a 24-hour a day cycle. I'm like, I would have blown my brains out. Like, there's no way I could have handled that. When you're just constantly clicking refresh and seeing comments come in, and bullying is always something I've been super passionate about. So I would, the reason why I'd asked you earlier question about the bodybuilding was I had thought for sure that that had stemmed from, your childhood, because I don't know, at least a lot of the bodybuilders I know, it almost always stems from some type of trauma. It's like I'm gonna be big enough and strong enough that certain things that happened will never happen again.
Yeah, I guess I was just so skinny as a kid that, like, I guess I didn't, and it was so hard for me to put on muscle, and I didn't, you know, I was never working out, so that was never like an option. So like the battle for me was always mental, I guess. You know, like if I could overcome the final boss of my brain, you know, and being like, you know, are these kids right? Like, am I really like, you know, this horrible piece of shit? And then being like, and help having my parents help and be like, nope, actually, you are wonderful. You are beautiful. You're amazing. Don't listen to them. And then, you know, having my parents helped a lot. Yeah.
Did you ever have to talk yourself back from that ledge on your
Oh
own?
yeah. Oh yeah. Big time. Probably, I think freshman year of high, sophomore year of high school is probably the worst. Like life kind of sucked until sophomore year, and then my parents, they pulled me out of that high school and put me in a different one. So my junior and senior year of high school were absolutely like wonderful. Like in contrast, that was like the first time in life that I was like, oh yay, life is good. I have friends at school. Everything's gravy. But yeah. My parents pulled me out of a couple of schools, actually. Yeah, my parents. Oh, I wish I could just pull them, my parents, on the show and introduce you to them because they're fucking amazing. Like, I have a core memory of being in fourth grade and having my mom and dad at a round table with like the principal, the vice principal, all my teachers, and being like, "You are not doing enough to stop the bullying of our son." Like, and me just sitting there, like, looking at my mom and dad, like, "You guys are my hero."
I don't think I've ever heard anyone speak so highly of their parents.
Oh, really?
Yeah, like, I've heard people talk about, like, oh, yeah, I had a good life, good upbringing, but, like, you're 10 steps beyond that. Like, it sounds like.
Oh, the number one thing in my life that I will always and forever be grateful for is the fact that I was born to the mom and dad that I was born to. Like, and it didn't really hit me until I was an adult because, like, I didn't know anything outside of my own world. So I just assumed, like, oh, this is how parents should be to their kid. And then, like, becoming older and talking to my friends and being like, oh, that's really great that you had that. My parents kicked me out when I was in sixth grade because I was gay. I'm like, oh, fuck, I'm sorry. Like, yeah. So it's, I'm very self-aware of the fact that my story's probably, unfortunately, the exception to the rule sometimes, I guess. But it's, I wish I could just clone my mom and dad and give them to, because I'm very self-aware of the fact that they are the reason I turned out the way I am today. Like, I love them to death, and I wouldn't be here without their like undying support. They're pretty amazing. Yeah, so I'm very lucky and grateful for them.
Yeah, well, and you also had those positive role models as well.
Yeah.
Like, because a lot of people who grow up with parents who aren't so great, it's either A, they grow up and become assholes like their parents, or B, in rare situations, they look at their parents and be like, okay, this is what I'm not going to do. But that's definitely isn't as common as people, kids who grow up and just keep repeating the same BS that they saw their parents do.
Were your parents cool with you being gay and stuff?
Both my parents are gay, so
Oh, cool. So by default, you win.
yeah, no, it was wow, I've never actually talked about this before, but yeah, no, I remember because my parents got divorced when I was really young, and like my dad and mom would both have friends come over and they would go take naps together, and yeah.
I have friends over for naps too. That's so crazy. Wow, parents, they're just like us.
Yeah, oh my God, I saw, oh, but yeah. Oh my God. No, it's crazy. Like, and then as you get older, you realize how ridiculous your lies used to sound to your parents. And you think, like, God, like they saw through that load of BS like instantly. But when
Yeah.
you're a kid, you think, like, oh, I'm so smart. They'll never. No, dude, they know.
Yeah.
They were kids once, too.
One of my mom said, like, almost verbatim to me, she's like, before, she's like, we already know you're gay. We're just waiting for you to tell us. And I'm just like, what? No, that's not how it's supposed to work. You're supposed to be like, oh, I never saw this coming. Like, my son, like, how could I afford to? Because I'm over here being like, hi, I'm gonna go hang out with my big buff friend who's 3 years older than me, and we're just friends. Yeah, totally just friends. Can I have a sleepover? Thanks. You're the best, mom. They're like, sure, honey. Yeah.
Of course. So, are your parents like your love of like performing and just you really just light up when you talk about that component of, your life. Do you feel like that also came from them?
Yeah, it was like a combination of them, because they were very musical, so I just kind of entered in that world also. But also, that was kind of like the only place where I found like acceptance and love. Like, the only times I was really like happy as a kid was when I was in like community theater productions back in Iowa. So I loved performing because, not necessarily because of the performing aspect, because, oh, I get to go to the theater and see my friends. You know what I mean? Like for other kids, it was like, oh, yeah, I get to go to school and see my friends. For me, it was like, oh, I get to go to school and get beat up. But if I go to like, fucking sound and music rehearsal, I get to be with like people who love me and adore me and like, no, I don't have to worry about any of that stuff. Even like, I remember in like sixth grade, my family was like in community theater production of Annie, and like my older sister was Annie, and my dad was like President Roosevelt, and my mom was one of the Boylan sisters. And there's like no roles for little boys in Annie, so I literally wrote a handwritten note to the director, and I took it to like the auditions, and I handed it to her. And it was basically being like, "Hi, I know there's no roles for boys in Annie, but I would really love to be in the show in any fucking capacity, just because I want to be with my family all summer, and I'd love to like." And she was so sweet. She made a little role for me where I just like run across stage as a paper boy and like yell, "Hey, papers, papers!" Just so I could like be with my family in the show, like and be with them. So that's kind of like how I, why I got into it and why it means so much to me. But yeah.
Oh, that's awesome. I mean, did you ever have stage fright at all? Or were you just like, fuck it, let's jump in the deep end of the pool?
Yeah, I've never had. Yeah, I've never had stage fright because I was usually just so happy to be there, and I get stage excitement. Like, yay, we're sharing something really wonderful with a whole crowd of people. Like, this is gonna be great. This is gonna be wonderful. It's gonna be awesome. And I was just so happy to be there and be with my friends that I was never like nervous because all my happy meters were filled just by being amongst them. You know what I mean?
I get that. So, how did you get into making content? That one is always, I always love hearing those stories.
Oh gosh. Okay. So, I have to go back a ways. So I perform in this show in San Francisco called Baloney, and we do it like about 4 times a year. It's kind of like a gay burlesque. So it's kind of like if Magic Mike and Saturday Night Live had a baby. It's very random and funny, but it's also like erotic and it's fun. It's awesome. But so that's kind of what my version of like where my performing family is nowadays for the past few years has been in Bologna, and I love performing with them and I love doing stuff with them. But last year we did so many shows during September and October that we had shows every weekend, and I didn't go-go dance for 2 months straight because we always had shows on Friday and Saturday nights, and didn't really think anything of it because I'm like, I have a day job, it's fine. And I noticed my finances took an absolute nosedive, and I've been go-go dancing every weekend for like the last 10 years, and I guess I didn't really think about it, but you make like, I don't know, $200 or $300 a night, like go-go dancing, times that by 4 weekends, times that by 2 months, like, oh yeah, I missed out on a lot of income. And I was like, fuck, like that's not a cute look, like being 38 years old and like what if I broke my leg tomorrow and I couldn't dance anymore, like how would I supplement my income? And I'm like, why do I need like 2 jobs to survive in San Francisco anyway? But anyway, it was just really frustrating because I was like, okay, what do I do? Like, I'm 38 years old. I really like, I can't go dance forever. And this was kind of like the wake up call that my day job on its own wasn't gonna cut it. And I love my day job, don't get me wrong. Like, I love my employer, I love my boss, I love my coworkers, and I really love my job. But it just, the sad truth is, it just doesn't pay enough for me to live in one of the most expensive cities in the world right now. You know what I mean? So I was like, well, if I need to rely on the way I look, physically and sexually or whatever, in the form of like go-go dancing in order to make ends meet, why don't I just lean all the way into that and see how much, start at OnlyFans and see how much I can make off of that if I need to, make money looking like this right now anyway. And so I was like, well, and who really helped a lot was Zen Gokin, who's like one of my best friends. I love him. And he started OnlyFans a couple years ago, and he was like, oh, like, here's my numbers, here's how like what I do. And it sounded like so successful. And I was like, oh, I want to do that. Like, if I was pulling in those numbers, I would sleep so much better at night, knowing that, like, I could at least sleep well financially. If tomorrow my bosses were at the bars were like, you know, we noticed you've been go dancing for 15 years. We think it's time for you to go out to pasture. You know what I mean? I wouldn't, like, be terrified of, like, okay, well, then how am I going to fucking pay rent then? So I started it purely just as a, like, you know, this plus go-go dancing plus my day job should be enough to, like, pay off my debt, my credit card, my student loans. Oh, my God. The biggest thorn in my side is my student loans. I'm going to be paying those till I'm dead. You know, let me just dive right into it and see, like, how far I can go. If I get 10 subscribers, then I'll just, you know, I'll quit or whatever. But I kind of entered it like, okay, knock on wood. Let's see what happens. You know, and I'm like, just give it your best shot. You know, try to produce really great content, you know, work really hard on it, and we'll see how it goes. And so I started it in, like, January, it's not really hard to do because filming myself, like, I love filming myself, and, like, I have a billion videos on my phone from me filming my ex getting fucked, because I loved it. Like, I don't know, just something about, like, I'm so sex positive, and I love watching people have sex. I love supporting people having sex. So I'm like me on the phone being like, yeah, you're doing amazing, sweetie. Like, so I was like, this should be pretty easy for me. You know, I just post what I would be recording normally. Then I started the Twitter too, to kind of, cause Zen was like, you need a Twitter to be like your billboard for your OnlyFans. And I was like, okay, cool. I can do that. So, knock on all the wood, it's been going good so far. it's been steadily growing, and it's a lot of work. It's also probably because I'm, you know, the cinema major in me, like, sitting here editing my OnlyFans video. I'm like, yeah. So it's just OnlyFans, but I'm like, no, this must be the most amazing OnlyFans video ever. So I'm such a perfectionist when it comes to, like, editing the video, and I'm like, no, I want everything to be, like, really high quality and really great. So I work really hard on the editing because I want, like, every post to be, like, a banger. Like, I want every post to be a single, no filler tracks. Like, so I try to make sure that all of my OnlyFans posts are, like, interesting and hot and well edited and, you know, easy to watch, and, like, people won't lose interest. Because my biggest worry is, like, sometimes I'll post, like, videos that are, like, 30, 40 minutes long, and I'm like, oh, is this, like, too long? Are people going to get bored? Like, are people going to be like, oh, get to the point, you know? Yeah, it's been going good so far. And I've been collabing with really, really, I found really, really wonderful, really hot, great guys. I've been very lucky, I think, you know.
Good for you. For what it's worth, this is just my humble opinion, so by all means, take it with a grain of salt. But I say longer videos are better, because me and everyone I know, like, in my personal life, we tend to like certain positions in pornos. So, like, if I'm watching a porno, I'll fast forward to my favorite two positions and just watch those. I have no interest in the rest of it. So what you're seeing is a 40-minute video. I'm actually only personally seeing as a 10 to 12-minute video.
Yeah, that's what I thought too. I'm like, people can always pick the part that they like and just focus on that. I figure it's better to put out too much than not enough, I guess. Yeah.
Exactly. So just my humble opinion. So how did you originally get into go-go dancing?
Oh, that's a story. So in college, my senior year back in Iowa, the first weekend of the school year, it was like the end of August. It was super hot. And the gay bar in Iowa City is called Studio 13. Wonderful place. Love it to death. But it gets so hot in there. And there's like one window by the dance floor. So me and my girlfriend at the time, we were dancing in there, and it was packed. And we were like, oh my God, it's so hot in here. And it's not the kind of club where people take their shirts off. It's just not that kind of, like, people just don't do that, except the go-go dancers. So we're dancing right next to a go-go box, and this guy's in his underwear. You know who it was Sasha Bell from RuPaul's Drag Race, because me and her both started at Studio 13. So she was, you know, being a go-go boy and dancing on the box, and me and my girlfriend is like, she's like, oh, it's so hot, let's take our shirts off. I'm like, okay, yeah, you're right, you're so smart. So we took off our shirts because we were drenched in sweat. So I'm dancing shirtless, she's dancing in her bra, And the dancer's like, hey, you two, get up here and dance. And we're like, oh, okay. So we jumped up on the box and we danced with him for the rest of the night. And people started to like tip us because they're like, oh, cool, more dancers. And we're like, wow, that was fun, you know, whatever. And then, but then the DJ came up to us at the end of the night and he was like, hey, do you guys want to come back next weekend and do that like for real reels? And we're like, sure, why not? That was fun. So we ended up coming back every Saturday night for my senior, every Saturday night, my senior year of college, me and her would dance together. And it was fun. It was great. Like if I would make $50 total, I would be like, whoo, I'm rich, you know? But yeah, so that's how I kind of got started. But then when I, like, I didn't think anything of it after I graduated, I was like, well, that was a fun little job that I did for a year. But now I'm joining the working world and I'm not going to do this ever again, of course. But then fast forward to I moved to San Francisco and I was like Hermione Granger when it comes to college. Like I am like, I must sit in the front row of every class. You know, I'm like there for every single question. I was super serious about like I was on Dean's list every semester. I'm totally that student, especially because it was video game college and I'm like, I'm paying out the ass. I moved out my whole life to come here. I want to get straight A's in every single thing. So I was like, I needed a job. And I was like, fuck, what can I, because I wanted a job that absolutely did not conflict with like either my studying or classes. Because I was like, that was my priority. And I was like, what if I tried go-go dancing again? You know, because that's a Friday, Saturday night job. It's not like you have classes on Saturday night. But in my brain, my Iowa, never been outside of Iowa brain, I was thinking Iowa levels of hotness, California levels of hotness. I was like, there's no way I'm going to get a job here. That's, yeah, okay. But I went to one bar. It was called Trigger. It's now called Bo. And I was like, hi, like, do you need dancers? And they're like, yeah, sure. We're having an audition, actually, blah, 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 in the state. Come and whatever. So I came. It was me and these two other guys who looked like Abercrombie models. I was like, there's no. What am I doing? But he took each one of us into a room, like, one at a time. And when it was my turn, he was like, so, this is, like, the manager of the bar or whatever. He's like, we're looking for masculine dancers. Do you know what I mean by masculine dancers? And I was like, oh, I was in a fraternity for 4 years. I know exactly what you're looking for. And in my brain, I'm like, oh, I got this in the bag. Like, I'm going to get up there and I'm just going to basically dance like this. Like, no expression, kind of flexing, like, moving slow the whole time. I was like, oh, yeah, oh, yeah. So I get up there, and I'm dancing in the cage or whatever, and he's down there. It's just us in the bar. And he's down there with, like, a pen and a paper, and he's just looking at me like this. And I'm up there like, but he's got, like, this henchman that's, like, laying across the bar, like, with a fan. And he's just, like, and he's looking at me, watching me dance. And he's getting, like, progressively more frustrated with me. Like, he's laying across the bar, and he's like, and I'm, like, up there, I'm like, what the fuck is this guy's problem? Like, I'm doing what I was asked to do. And then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, he just goes, you need to work it more! Dip, pop, death drop, God, twerk, anything, Jesus! And I'm up there, like, he, like, screamed this at me, and I'm up there in the cage, like, but that's not what the dude asked me to do. Like, he told me to dance. So I just kept doing this, right? But on my face, I was like, oh, God. It was like having a struggle. And I totally expected the manager to, like, turn to him and be like, oh, no, this is what I asked him to do. And he's doing a great job. Please continue. You know, but that's not what he did. He just stared at me with his pen and paper. And so I got done. Like, I had a panic, like, in my panic attack in my brain the whole time. And, like, that was so embarrassing. I don't know what I did wrong, but I'm absolutely not getting this. Like, I'm just going to go get a resume from McDonald's on my way home. Like, you know what I mean? I'm like, this is no fucking whatever. This was stupid. So I got an email like a week later being like, hey, from that guy, the manager, being like, hey, congrats. We really liked you. Would you like to come back and dance next Saturday? And I was like, oh, okay, cool. Like, was that some sort of mind game test that you were playing?
I'm trying to figure shit out right now. Like, what the fuck?
It was so, yeah. But, hey, I got the job. That's cool. So it worked. And then from that point, it just became a question of, like, networking. Like other bars would be like, hey, I hear you go dance at, you know, Trigger. Would you like to dance for us too? And I'd be like, sure. And so I would take, like, every go-go gig I could find because I was trying to, you know, just make money and stuff. Plus, it was really fun. Go-go dancing kind of pulls me out of the house because I'm such an introvert that it, like, if I had it my way on a Friday, Saturday night, I would just be like laying in bed playing PlayStation, like, you know what I mean? Like, so it kind of forces me out.
You and I are so similar.
Yeah. So that's kind of like how I got into it. And then, so I did that all of like while I was in college here. And then I graduated in 2012 and I sent an email like to all my bosses at all the bars that I danced at. And I was like, hey, thank you so much for employing me. It was, you know, wonderful experience. You guys have been great. Like, thanks for the memories. I'm now graduated, so I'm going to join the working world, you know, work in video game design and blah, 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 blah. And they were all like, you know what? That's great. Like, we're so proud of you. It's been a pleasure having you. You know, please let us know in the future if you ever want to come back. And I'm thinking, oh, thanks, but I'm not going to be back coming back because I'm going to be this big video game designer and blah, blah, blah. And then 6 months later, I didn't get a job in the video game industry. And then I also got the 6 months later after I sent that email, not only did I not have a job in the game industry, but the grace period for my student loans ended. And I got my first set of bills and they were more than my rent. My rent was $1,300 at the time and my bills for all my student loans were $1,400. And I was like, oh my God. Yep. So I immediately was like, just kidding. Who needs a dancer? Because there's no way I'm going to be able to pay off these student loans on my own. Yeah.
Holy shit.
Yep. Don't ever let your children go to the Art Institute. Great school. I love my teachers. I love my classmates. But yeah, that was a scam college for sure.
What the fuck? $1,400 a month student loan payment?
Yep. I eventually like talked them down.
Did you have?
Huh?
How much student loan debt did you have?
When I graduated, I had like $100,000, and it just kind of balloons, you know, over the years because of interest and stuff. But yeah, student loans are the giant thorn in my financial side. That yeah, my life would be totally different if I didn't have student loans. But
aren't student loan payments supposed to be based on your income?
They are, which is why I got them reduced to income based later. Because my boyfriend at the time, he was like, you know, you should really just do income based repayment because. Like, sure, you're going to be paying more over the course of your life, but, you know, you're going to be paying less forever anyway, so you might as well, you know, enjoy your life and have money every month for doing what you want. Yeah, so I took the option of paying, after that, I took the option of paying the least amount that I possibly could every month and just paying them, like, for longer, like, for more years. Yeah, that's where we're at now.
Wow. Okay, so one thing I meant to ask in the beginning, like, I don't play video games anymore, but, like, I used to play a lot, and I actually played World of Warcraft professionally, so I get it, but, like, when I think of, like, 90% of gamers, have you seen the South Park World of Warcraft episode? That's what I'm picturing in my head.
You know what's funny is we had to write a paper on World of Warcraft in college. Like, one of the assignments was we had to play Warcraft until, like, level 10 or 15 and then write a paper on our experiences. And I remember my paper was on, this game is so boring, I don't understand how people can get addicted to it. Like, kill your own pigs. Like, I'm so over with this game. But that was the only time I ever played Warcraft.
Okay. Yeah, no, the game doesn't start until you reach whatever the max level is.
That's what I heard, yeah.
That's when it starts. Okay. But, like, how do you... I don't know. I guess what I'm trying to ask is... When I picture most gamers, like, I'm picturing the kid who lives in his mom's basement, who never sees the sun, who especially doesn't go to the gym. I mean, maybe gaming has evolved since when I did it, but, like, how do you have time for gaming in addition to what, you know, all your responsibilities? That's my question.
It's just, like, one slice of the pie of all the stuff that I do in my life. Like these days now, all I really have time to play, like, I've been playing a lot of Street Fighter 6 lately, and it's nice because I can just come home. I just have like a 30 minute window, you know, whatever, a day that I can, it's just nice to just, I can just log in, do a fight or two and be like, there you go. As opposed to like a game where you'd like need to sit and really like take your time and invest. So yeah, comes and goes in waves of how, I guess, much free time I got in my life going on. During the pandemic, I did nothing but play video games. It was great. The government is paying me $600 a week to sit at home and play Horizon Zero Dawn. Yeah, I'll take that. Yeah, I blew through a lot of games during 2020. My introverted ass loved it.
Yeah, no, I get that. Have you always been more of an introvert?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, big time.
And actually, there was somebody who had asked... Someone asked, do you have any good stories from the Go-Go Boy locker rooms / back doors? Also, your thoughts on the different go-go dance styles people use, and if you have a favorite.
Oh, I could write a book. I could absolutely write a book, like, filled with the stories that I've had over the last 15 years of dancing. As far as go-go styles, I don't know. I just do glorified two-stepping, like, because I don't get paid enough to do, like... Well, another bit is, like, I don't have, like, room on the bar. Sometimes those bars are, like, this wide, so you can't exactly be, like... 5, 6, 7, 8, you know, you just gotta, like, kind of plant your feet and bounce and two-step, but, sometimes, like, you're dancing at a bar where, like, there's a chandelier here, or, like, a light, and then, like, a fan, and, like, people are ordering drinks, and it's kind of crazy, so you kind of, everybody's style is pretty much a variation of feet planted and doing what you can with your upper body to make it look interesting, but, oh my god, I have 100 million stories. I could tell you about the one time I ever did a stripping gig. Because that was pretty, that was a traumatizing core memory. one time I did a gig for a guy in San Francisco who, he had like this loft apartment in Soma, and it was humongous. Like, his place was so big, he had a life-sized taxidermied giraffe in his living room. It was just massive. Yeah, so he threw this huge ass party, and he hired me and like these two other guys to like go-go dance for it. And the plan was, this was like a nice, like this was like a black, like white tie, like suit and tie type like gig. This was like a, yeah, and he's like, what you need to do is you need to come in a tux, and when you hear, this is when Bad Romance came out, and he was like, the cue is going to be Bad Romance, and when Bad Romance starts playing, you're just going to start stripping, so it looks like you're, like, you know, secret spy incognito strippers. So I'm like, oh, cool, that sounds great, I could do that. That sounds, yeah, that's totally my alley. So I get to the party, I'm in my tux, and, like, I remember I'm standing by, like, the box that I was supposed to jump on when the cue happened, and I'm talking to this guy, and he's like, so, like, what do you do? And these are all, like, big rollers, so I was like, I am a lawyer. Like, he's like, oh, really cool, like, for who? And I'm like, oh, you know, for, and then Bad Romance is, like, going off, and I was like, oh, actually, you're about to find out exactly why I came to this party. I set my drink down, and I jump up on the box, and the other two dancers jump up on their boxes, and they had these, like, Magic Mike-style, like, pull-away tuxes, so they literally jumped up on the box, and they're like, and then they were in their jock strap. Like, they literally went from fully closed tux to jockstrap in, like, 7 seconds. Okay, so I rented an actual tux. So, I jump up on the box, and I'm like... And meanwhile, they're, like, already in their jockstraps, and I'm like, hate you guys, because I was thinking, like, it didn't even enter into my brain to get anything but a real tux, because I thought you could like turn each thing into like a moment, like, here comes the bow tie and the cummerbund and here's my vest, you know what I mean? So I'm up there, like, it looked like I was just another party goer that was like, ooh, I could do this too, you know, and decided to jump up on the box, and I was like, fuck. And then the worst part was when I got to the pants, because there's no sexy way to take off actual tight tuck pants with a belt. So I, like, was, like, hopping out of my pants, and I ended up tripping and falling. So I fell on this go-go box. My legs are in the air. I'm trying to, like, pull off the pants. And the other two dancers, everybody around them is being like, woohoo! Me, my circle around my box, everybody's like, in fact, I remember clear as day, I'm laying on the box and I'm pulling my pants off and there's this guy, he's got his drink and he just looks at me and he goes, "Are you okay? Do you need help?" And it wasn't like a, "Do you need help taking those clothes off?" And it also wasn't like, "Oh my God, do you need help?" It was like a, "There are resources you can call. Like, are you okay? Like, do you want to talk about it? Like, are you okay, man?" Because I'm laying on the, and I'm like, "No, I got this. I'm fine. I just, the other dancers didn't tell me that they were going to be fucking getting custom made magic. My fucking, oh my God." I remember, it was like the Saturday Night Live skit from hell. I was like, this is so embarrassing. So ever since then, I never took another stripping gig after that. I was like, nope, either you want me to come out already in my underwear or it's not happening because I'm not. Oh my God. There was one time when I was go-go dancing at Trigger and they had, like, the DJ would always play this like remix of Thriller and I knew the whole Thriller dance, like the, you know, so whenever he would play it, I would like do that like dance up on the bar. And I remember one night, one Saturday night, it was like packed, like wall to wall sardines in there. And I'm in the bathroom, like in my, you know, go-go underwear, like just peeing or whatever. And like, do, 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 do. And all of a sudden I hear like, bow, bow. And I'm like, oh my God, that's Thriller. That's Thriller. Okay. Oh shit. I'm missing. Hurry, hurry, hurry. Like shook it a bunch of times or whatever and put my underwear. And then I like run back up to the go-go box and I jump back on and I'm like, you know, doing it, blah, blah, blah. I'm like living my life. And I notice on the complete opposite end of the bar are these two guys and they're holding their drinks and they're like talking to each other and they're staring at my crotch. And I'm like, oh yeah, yeah, that's right. Yeah. And I'm like, then I notice that they're looking at me like, and I look down and it was Galaxy Night or something. So we all had silver on. So I had silver underwear on and wetness shows up really, really easy on gray and silver clothing. And I had just gone to the bathroom. So I had these perfectly circular dots at the edge of my underwear. It was painfully obvious what they were. I couldn't pass it off as, oh, someone spilled a drink on me. Nope. It was exactly what they thought it was. And I was like, fuck. So I jumped off the bar and I like covered my junk like this. And I was like, I'm just going to stand here until they dry. And there's this giant guy standing next to me. He's just holding his drink and he sees me. He's like, "Everything all right?" And I'm like, "Yeah, it's fine. It's fine. Don't look at me." Oh, I have a million stories like that. Wow. I always thought I could probably write a book someday. I'm going to call it Paper Cuts on My Balls, a go-go memoir. And it's just going to be stupid, crazy stories that happened from when I was dancing.
I like it. I don't know. I personally... Shit. I used to strip, but that was like, God, 20 years ago. Frankly, I don't even know how I stripped because I can't dance or shit. Thank God I don't remember any of it. But I like, what exactly is the point of a go-go dancer? Is it just supposed to add like energy to the room, if you will? Or
yeah, I guess they just add, you know, ambiance to the room of being. And it's also like I think of it as like a welcoming thing. Like, because when people come into the bar, they want to see like, oh, hey, hi, welcome, you know? Look how much fun I'm having dancing. You could be having fun too. Let's all dance, you know? So it's really just kind of like you're a hype man for the whole bar and the DJ, you know? Kind of show like, hey, this music is fun and danceable. You guys should dance to it too. Yeah.
Okay. That makes sense. That makes sense. So what does the future look like for you? Where do you want to be in 10, 20 years?
I've always been really bad at answering that question because it's hard enough just for me to plan like a year ahead from now. But I don't know. It's so hard because my life constantly is like, you know, I planned to be a video game designer and that didn't really turn out. But, you know, the side route that I took ended up being really wonderful. So I could plan for something for 10 years from now and it'll probably look totally different anyway. So I just kind of have been following the road that like I trust the road I'm on now in this moment. And I trust that that is going to get me where I want to be in 10 years, rather than being like, in 10 years, I want to be here. Instead, I'm going to be like, okay, just do the right thing right now and trust that, you know, you'll get to a destination. But like, I'm really happy with where I am right now. Like, life is pretty, pretty amazing. I have a great life. I have wonderful roommates. I have a great trainer. You know, OnlyFans is going really well. Bologna is going really well. I'm doing drag again next month, which is something that I was thinking about for years. Everything is just going really, really good. So I just kind of keeping my, you know, head to the ground, like keep grinding, keep going, and kind of just be grateful for how well it's going right now, you know, because at any moment, you know, it could all be very different, you know.
Yeah. No, I get that. No, it's nice when things are going well and it feels like things are starting to fall into place, because you're absolutely right. Like, the only people I know who actually do what they went to school for would be doctors and attorneys. Every single other person I know, like, I have my best friend, he's head of research and development. He's like an IT savant. His degree's in political science. Like, what the fuck? So many people just, so yeah, I wouldn't let your, you know, yeah, just keep doing what you're doing. And as long as it's making you happy, that's all that really matters.
Mm-hmm.
But do you want to stay in California or?
Oh yeah. I mean, I love California. It's such a different world from Iowa that it, yeah. Like, cause like back in, I remember growing up like in Iowa, like it was very hard to like find other gay people, and here you throw a rock and there's one down the street. So just in terms of like sheer diversity, like you can't get much better than, you know, San Francisco or places like that. And like all my friends are here. My chosen family's here. Bologna's here. So yeah, I don't really see myself ever leaving anytime soon. Yeah. So yeah, I'm pretty happy here. Yeah. You know what? Even my family wants to move out here now. Like, wow. my nephew just came out here for Pride. He's 21 and he's trans and he's fucking miserable back there, which understandably so. So I was like, well, why don't you come out for Pride and come see like what the world is like outside of Iowa? And he loved it. We went to the trans march, we went to Pride march, we went to all these things. Totally like just blew his mind. And now he's like, I want to move to San Francisco. And I'm like, well, come, like there's plenty of room. And now my mom and dad are like, well, you know, if he moves to San Francisco, there's really no reason for us to stay either. And we're kind of over it too. So like in the next 5-10 years, who knows, my entire family might be joining me out here. And my little sister already lives in LA because she's trying to make it as like a music producer person. So we could just be an entire Iowa immigrated family to California.
Yeah, I don't know, the cost though, like,
yeah, that's the one thing, yeah,
insane.
Yeah, it's fine. Maybe by then I'll make enough on OnlyFans that I can help pay for them to be out here, because they deserve to be happy too.
Well, you definitely have a really good mentor in Zen. Zen
really. Oh, I love Zen. I could talk all day about how great he is. He's so wonderful. Yeah, didn't you just interview him too?
Yeah, I did.
Oh, yeah, he's, I love that guy. He's like this, like the sweetest fucking man I've ever met in my life.
Yeah, no, he's so like sweet and gentle and soft spoken and earnest and like pure in a way, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and he'll give you the shirt off his back if you need. Like, he's just, and he's so sexy. He's so nice, and he like, and he's super talented too. Like, have you heard him sing and play piano? Like, it's insane. He like could be on Broadway.
Yep. He's amazing.
Yeah.
So my last question that I have for you is one thing that I feel like really separates you from a lot of the other performers out there is your cosplay. Because your Wolverine is like fucking spot on.
Oh, thank you.
Like, I mean, it's really good. I was like, what the fuck?
You know how that happened was, so in Bologna, at the beginning of the year, we did an X-Men parody. We called it the Triple X-Men. So we were all different X-Men characters, but, like, slutty versions of it. And And so I was Wolverine, and I was like, oh, this is fucking amazing. Role of a lifetime. So I grew up my hair for it. You know, I buffed up. I even, like, colored my chest hair because I, like, you know, I wanted to look, like, as comic book accurate as possible. And I was, like, even, like, on stage, I was, like, squatting so I could be, like, his height. So, like, I'm already looking like Wolverine at the time for the show. And this is when I started my OnlyFans. And I remember I came home from the show one night, and I still looked like him. And I was really horny, so I was like, well, let me just... You know, so I jerked off, like, still looking like Wolverine, and it got, and I remember I posted it, like, and it got, like, pfft, like a bajillion views or whatever overnight. I was like, oh my god, like, I fucking touched a nerve, what the hell? And I was like, wow, what if I did it again, but had the claws on? And let me tell you, it is a skill to jerk off with those claws, because, like, the metal, like, you have to, yeah. Yeah, so, yeah, so it was fun. Like, it was cool. I was like, well, you know, I look like this anyway right now. Might as well make some videos off of it. And then my friend Jesse, he's also in Bologna, and he was Killmonger, and he had, like, a whole Killmonger outfit. So I was like, oh my god, what if we did a, what if we put on our costumes and we fucked as Wolverine and Killmonger? And he's like, oh yeah, let's do it. Yeah, so we did that and recorded it, and it's so funny that video with Jesse, like, so Jesse's my best friend in real life, right? And I, like, love him, but, like, I noticed, like, when I was editing it, like, for hours on end, I was like, oh my god, like, I think I really like this guy, because we're fucking as Wolverine and Killmonger, so I'm like, I should be being like, yeah, fucking take it all, bub, like, take this Wolverine cock, and I, like, am looking at him the whole time while I'm fucking, like with doe eyes, and I'm like, wow. So, that video was really special to me. But yeah, Jesse's great. I love that guy.
Dude, I think you could, fuck. I mean, your physique, you could pull off, like, a lot of comic book characters.
Thank you. I had a...
Make it easy.
Sorry, go ahead.
Easily see you pulling off, like, a Frank Castle.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Oh, thank you. I have a couple other ones in the... Like, I was Captain Falcon last year for Halloween, and I was like, what if I fucked as Captain Falcon? That'd be fun. Yeah, I have a whole bunch of ideas that I want to do.
There are a ton of fucking gay nerds, like, a shit ton of them. So you've got no shortage of, like, potential customers.
Yeah. I just gotta, like, find the time and do it, and I gotta find someone to make the costumes, because, like, truth be told, I can't sew to save my life. So, like, a lot of the costumes I just, like, pay someone else to do. So, yeah, I just gotta, like, find someone and be like, hey, can you make me a blah, blah, blah outfit? Because I would really love to fuck dressed as Kratos, you know, from God of War or something.
That you would look hot as Kratos.
Oh, thank you. You know what's funny? I was Kratos one year for Halloween, like, 10 years ago. And I had, like, the white body paint and the red body paint. And I bought, like, this bald cap that I found in, like, the Halloween store. And the night of Halloween, I, like, paint my whole body white and red. I do the whole thing. I, like, had whatever. And the last piece of the puzzle was the bald cap. And I take it out of the bag and I put it on my head. And it was literally like this. Like, it only covered, like, right here, no matter how much I pulled. And I was like, are you kidding me? So I went as, and I didn't have that dedication to shave my head at the time, plus it was like,
oh, yeah,
so I went as Kratos with, like, this kind of hair. Not a soul knew who I was. There was one group of girls that were like, oh my god, I love your belly dancer outfit, and I'm like, no, I failed. So next time I do Kratos, I'm just gonna shave my head and commit, because I can't trust bald caps.
Wow. Yeah, just go for it. I mean, you're bald. I'm trying to think, who else should you do? You're too big to be Professor Xavier.
Someone asked me to do Colossus. That would be fun.
I was just thinking, yeah. Colossus.
That would be fun. Just paint my whole body silver.
Yeah. I don't know. I think that can definitely be your niche.
Mm-hmm.
So... With that being said, for anyone watching, where can they find your fan sites, content, social media, anything and everything you want to plug, as well as
I mean, my Twitter is Your Daddy Kano, because Kano was taken and Daddy Kano was taken. So I was like, what if I was just Your Daddy Kano? Because then it implies like, hey, I'm yours, and it activates my sub side because I love being a sub. So yeah, my Twitter is Your Daddy Kano. My OnlyFans is Daddy Kano. My YouTube, where I put all my drag numbers, because I've filmed all of them, and also some of my piano playing songs are on there, is Shaka Korn, is my drag name. I think it's Shaka underscore Korn, or you just search Shaka Korn. The way I came up with that, what'd you say?
Spell that?
It's so, like, Shaka Khan, but instead of Khan, it's Korn, because I'm from Iowa.
Okay.
My ex came up with that idea. We were playing Mario on the Wii one day, and, like, we're, like, super into it, like, focusing, and then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, he's just like, and I'm like, what? He's like, oh my god, I have the best idea ever. He's like, if you ever do drag, your name should be Shaka Korn. Like Shaka Khan, but Korn because you're from Iowa. And I looked at him like, you're fucking crazy. They're like, that's never going to happen. Get back to the game.
I'm stuck.
Yeah.
Do you have Instagram?
I do. It's just my drag name, Shaka Korn, one word.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
My Instagram is very different from my Twitter. It's much more PG rated. But I put all my baloney pictures on there.
Oh, okay. All right. Anything else you didn't mention?
Oh, if you want to follow baloney, that would be awesome. It's not spelled like the meat. It's spelled like Balonney. And their Instagram is sfbaloney. And that's all the pictures from the show are on there. And I'm going to plug that because I really love that show. And I love being a part of it. So yeah, if you want to check that out too.
Okay. All right. Awesome. Well, thank you very much for agreeing to do this.
Oh, thank you really for having me.
And don't go anywhere. For those of you watching, I hope you guys all have an absolutely amazing week. And also, if you did like this video, please like, comment, share, subscribe. And I will leave all the links for everything down below. Down below in the description. Hey guys, just want to say thank you for watching this video, and if you did really enjoy it, I just wanted to mention there are two ways that you can help to support this channel. On the right side, there are three little dots. If you click those, there is a super thanks button, and on the left hand side, there is a join button where you can join this channel. There are three different tiers of memberships. The top tier does actually allow one-on-one messaging with me via Discord, and I personally answered that. It is not a service. That's just, you know, both of those are ways that you can help support me as a content creator in this channel. I mention this because YouTube is by far the thing that I enjoy doing the most. It's the thing I'm most passionate about, and unfortunately, a lot of the sexual videos, the porn star confessions, the Dom sub, all that stuff, it is not monetized due to the nature of the videos. But either way, thank you so much for taking the time to watch this. I hope you guys all have an absolutely amazing week. I love you all.